Welcome to the Strong John Fitness Podcast. This show is dedicated to helping you achieve your best body without the BS. We'll cover training, nutrition, basically everything you need for a successful fitness journey, and we'll have some fun along the way. I'm your host, John Vlahoyanakos. Let's get into it. All right. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, two special guests in one episode. Actually, really excited to talk and have these two talk to you. They're just wonderful people. Really happy to have them on the podcast. Katie and James Tan, they're online coaches with Akron Strength and Wellness. Welcome to the podcast.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time. So just to kick us off, and you can both have your turn, but I'd love to know more about, because I don't even know personally, your background into like the health and fitness space, what made you become coaches and then run your own business?
Yeah. Right. So I was overweight most of my life, especially as a young person. Chubby my whole childhood, and, you know, struggled with body issues and being overweight. I got to my heaviest in my early 20s. I was up to almost 300 pounds. Had lost, you know, at one point I lost like 80 pounds and then gained it all back and then some. By the age of like 23, 24, I was 288 pounds. I was depressed. I was, you know, just very sheltered, living at home, no job. And, you know, I got to a point where, you know, it just wasn't working anymore. So I started this sort of fitness journey over and over again until I got to the point where I was fed up enough where I needed to change my mindset as well as, you know, just trying to lose the weight. So I, around 2005, 2006, I lost a considerable amount of weight again over a year. And, you know, since then, I've kept the weight off for about, it's a little over 17 years now. So it was a long process. I know, John, you used to be overweight as well. So it was like, one of the things that I love about the things that you post is talking a lot about how it's having a coach is the closest thing to a shortcut, you know, to getting there faster. Mm-hmm. You know, it took me years and years and years of failures and learning these lessons on my own. And I want to be able to bring these lessons to people so they don't have to take decades to get there and to get to a point where they feel good and they love their body and they, you know, they love, they know they have control over these things physically and emotionally and with their nutrition. So my journey is just all about like taking what I've learned, all the failures I've made and trying to give people information and coaching on how they can, you know, not have to take that long route so much.
I love it, man. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, we do share similar stories. I didn't realize it was this close, but it's, mm-hmm. and it's something that like, if I can go back and change it, it's almost like, would I? Because I wouldn't right. be in this position that I am now if things were different when I was a teenager in my early 20s. So it's interesting that we have to go through so much struggle sometimes to put ourselves in position to help others. And it's right. kind of this like grateful, but what a struggle it was, kind of battle. But man, yeah, you're in an amazing spot. Yeah, you're and thank you for sharing that. It's been great.
Yeah. Thanks.
For my journey, mine isn't as much with the weight loss, although my heaviest, I was around 160, and that was an uncomfortable 160 for me, just because where I hold it, you know, and all women hold their weight differently. But my biggest struggles were my self-talk and like really bad depression and anxiety, and I had no outlet. My parents didn't know what to do for me. You know, we tried therapy, but they didn't have a good background in therapy. It's not as big and known now as it was even 10 years ago. So I remember being unhappy, hating myself, and already like picking at myself by age 10, which is really young. And so I struggled with it until about the age of 24, which is when I started really just exercising for me, not for a specific, like, I gotta lose weight for this specific thing and then I'm good. So I did do a lot of yo-yo exercising, right? People do yo-yo diets. I did yo-yo exercising along with diet, but I crash dieted. And, you know, I was at a young age where crash diet, I would lose the weight I wanted in about 2 months and then I was good and let's go on vacation and I'm done with it. So about the age of 25, 26 is when I started really working out. I found an amazing therapist who I still see now once a month. Back then I was going about once a week because I needed to really like dig into where these thoughts were coming from and the things that I say to myself do have a huge impact on the way I live my life. And so as soon as I started really digging into why I'm saying these things to myself, why I'm picking on these things about myself and having more self-belief that I do have control over these things. I just am going to have to work hard at this for a while. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really uncomfortable. And it was for a really long time. So I went to school and got my master's as a speech therapist. So I did speech therapy for full time 6 years, and then I started doing part time coaching. And still got to the point where I'm this I did and part time speech therapist, and then it got to, you know, I want to go all in with coaching. This is where my passion is. So then I became a full time. We call ourselves like wellness coaches, you know, because we coach fitness and nutrition, but I do put a lot of emphasis on self-talking and tell people that it's a good therapist because there are a lot of things we need to get into the brain part. So whereas I've lost, you know, and kept off about from my heaviest 25 pounds, I feel like the therapy and the mindset, and now I use exercise as an outlet tool and, you know, have better handle on my depression and anxiety. So I'd say my biggest journey, as where James has done a significant weight loss journey, I've more so gone into my mindset most of all, because that's the really torturous part for me. Still peeks its head out, you know, okay. So that's where I think the two of us dynamically have a lot of experience with weight loss, and then with the mindset self-talk portion of this, just really creates a dynamic duo.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that. And that was going to be, you kind of beat me to it, is what led you both to want to coach, right? Because I think coaching someone through a fitness journey, wellness journey is very different than going through it on our own. I know a ton of people who are in great shape, but they don't necessarily know how to translate that to helping others. So what was it for you two? And I guess, how did you connect? And then what parts of your journeys did you connect and then decide to kind of coach?
So we connected. I actually went to the gym she was working at on like a trial. And then, you know, working there, I for years wanted to, you know, get my certification. You know, other jobs get in the way, and I never really took the leap. I even had the material AD certification in my house for, you know, a couple years, and never got into them. And then, you know, I remember at this gym. And we hit it off from day one, mm-hmm. basically, but we worked together, we dated soon after. And for me, in terms of the, you know, wanting to help other people, it was just, you know, f- finding out how many people were actually inspired by my story. And, you know, because I don't know if you feel this way, but like when you go through it, particularly early on after you make that weight loss and that transformation, you're still in the area where you're just like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Uh-huh. You're just kind of like, I'm digging out of a, for me, I was like, I'm digging out of a hole. And why are people praising me for getting out of a hole? But then you kind of realize like how many people suffer the same thoughts you were thinking, the incredible negative, just even torturous things that you say to yourself. So, you know, when more people kind of came to me and said like, you're an inspiration, and you know, even the point where people said like, you've inspired me to do this, or you've inspired me to do that. I kind of chased that feeling because it's, it feels great, you know, to know that, you know, one, you're not alone, but to be able to help guide people to know they're not alone, and to help them with those thoughts, let them know those thoughts are normal, but also you don't have to listen to them.
Right.
And you can, you know, progress out of that. You're not a fixed, finished product. You can change the way you think about yourself, the way you view yourself, the way you feel about it. And, you know, so much of what you see in this industry is, you know, lose this weight for summer or whatever it is, and not recognizing emotional information and all that stuff that's makes it so much more worthwhile, so much more sustainable. So for me, that was like my North Star, is to help people get out of that prison they put themselves in, physically and mentally, because I was there.
I love it. Yeah. And I think part of it is people on the outside don't see what we're going through on the inside. So they see the physical changes, which are noticeable most of the time, but in our heads, we're either not happy with the result yet, we want to keep going, or like you guys said, like the negative self-talk of like, well, why I haven't done this, or it's that imposter syndrome of, well, I'm not good enough anyway. The one thing you said that I loved is you're not a finished product.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge. I think we all have stories that we tell ourselves that we believe are true, but it's because we just keep telling ourselves over and over again, oh, I can't do this. Oh, you know, I'm not that type of person. Ah, that's not for me. And it's those kind of self-limiting and self-imposing really beliefs that really hold people back. And it's tough. I don't know if you both have experienced this, where you've talked to someone over the course of 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, whether online or in person, and they can't seem to make that lasting change. And it's, you want to help them, but at the end of the day, they have to want to change for themselves. They have to make that themselves. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh yeah. That's, I would say one of my toughest spots is because I at times feel like I want it for them more than they want it for themselves. And that's probably not true, but it's more so like, I know they can do it. So I keep, you know, like holding on and pushing them. And if we could do the work for them, sometimes I'm like, I would do it. But then again, like I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want anybody to have done all the work I've done for myself. Like I want that credit. But that is it. That's really tough when people keep, you know, yo-yoing or not responding to us for 3 weeks. And then they come back and they're like, well, here I fucked up again. You know, call themselves a failure, all these things. And here I go, I'm starting from zero again. And it's kind of like, you're not starting from zero. Just like, use this as a chance to learn what isn't working, what we can change now that you're back on track. But yeah, when you see other potential and you have the keys for them for what they need, but they just keep, you know, dropping the keys or not thinking that's going to unlock the door
for them. Right. And for me, like speaking from my personal experience, the frustration comes from, I had those thoughts, That right. thing you're saying right now is the thing I used to say.
Right.
And I looking back, I was 100% convinced that I'm a picky eater. I hate vegetables. I, you know, whatever the fixed mindset thing is, I'm not the type of person who, the things I used to say, and that can come from in terms of, you know, if you just let in some of that growth mindset, you'll realize not only that you don't need like some kind of motivation or inspiration because you can create it yourself, but you will be so empowered that you'll be like, it'll take you outside of just fitness and say like, what else can I achieve? Right. What else, you know, you get that empowerment in all aspects of your life, your relationships, your career. It goes, you know, as you know, it goes so far beyond just, you know, the fitness
right.
aspect.
Yeah. What do you think it is with people? I mean, there's a few things that we can touch on. I think one of them, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on, is people are either scared to, or don't know how to, or are too proud to ask for help.
Right.
I'd say, if I'm speaking like from a woman's point of view and for the women I coach, I'd say they're scared. I mean, I've had many women who are now signed up with me, you know, or us, that say, I wanted to reach out 6 months ago, but I was scared. And also, like, can you just let me know what you're scared of so I know how to help somebody in the future that's going to most likely experience what you experienced? And I'll get all kinds of answers. Scared I was going to judge them for where they're at. Scared to ask for help. Scared to admit that they have a lot of work to do. And so they just weren't ready, I guess, to acknowledge that I need to start now. But the big one usually is also scared to start a program because all the other programs I've done in the past didn't help me.
Yep.
And that's a big one. And I can understand because now I'm coaching women. Now my age span is a big span. I coach teenagers and then I coach all the way up to like mid 70s. But it is a lot of times the late 30s, 40s, and early 50s women who say, I was nervous this program wasn't going to work for me because so many other programs in my past didn't work, or I made progress and then I lost it. So I'd say fear is a big one. Fear of shame, fear of the work for the women.
And for men, I think a lot of it is that fear of asking for help.
Yeah.
I think generally men are more likely to not want to ask for help. They're more likely to feel like they should be able to do that on their own. Mm-hmm. I even had a call with a client recently who, you know, in the initial call said, I'm really pissed off that I had to call you because I feel, you know, he's a person who's, you know, has a long experience with exercise and, worked out with his father and things like that, but he, you know, got to a point where he couldn't do it on his own anymore, and he was frustrated by that fact. And you know, I think for men, a lot of times that fear of asking for help is a big one.
Yeah, agreed.
100%. And I think it's tough, right? We're in an industry where there are a lot of bad programs. There are a lot of things that there aren't built for everyone, but you know, if the marketing feels good to that person, to the consumer, let's say they're going to want to do it, even if we know it's not right for them. And sometimes it becomes a what's the cheapest program I can do. Sometimes it'll let me down all the free stuff. And I understand, you know, finances can get in the way sometimes, but when you have someone who's tried 10 different diets, 10 different programs, this and that, it's really hard, I think, to get them to a mindset where what we're doing for them is different than everything else they've done. I think that's the biggest thing. as coaches, we have to take into account everything they've done in the past and make sure we don't repeat, because clearly what they did before, it didn't work long term, right? And I think fear of failure is definitely something that can stop people. But we have a responsibility, I think, to flip that into, it's not failure. Failure to me is if you just stop trying. Like if you literally just like, I'm not worth it, I'm not going to do anything positive. Like to me, that's more of a failure than anything else. You said earlier, we're not a finished product. So there's always positive things you can do moving forward. And I think coaching is one of the best things that someone can do. And it's not that you need a coach forever, but just to have someone working with you one-on-one to give you the knowledge, the tools, the support to put you on a path where you can do it for yourself. Like there's nothing more powerful than that. Like you can download the perfect program off the internet for free. It doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, I think the most valuable thing a coach does is give people that self-efficacy. Like they're able, you know, when we're able to identify where they're limiting themselves and, you know, show them, that's just a thought, you know, that's just just because you thought that way for years and maybe, you know, your past results were this, like, that's no indication of what your future has to be.
Yeah.
You are capable of whatever, you know, you put your mind to, and a lot of people just need to be guided out of whatever mental, you know, limitations they put on themselves or whatever, like you said before, the story they tell themselves, that's the story they tell themselves. It's right. Not truth, you know?
100%. Why? And I'm just curious, I don't know if you touched on this already, but why do you think it is that men, and I would say bluntly, men are more stubborn when it comes to asking for help?
Yes.
Why do you think that is? Is it a pride thing?
I think it's pride. I think it's, you know, it's generally a societal thing that, you know, maybe there's biological aspects to it too, but, you know, there's the old jokes of men not asking for directions when they drive, and all those kinds of things. And it's, you know, that it's true to an extent. It's, I think for men, they, you know, it's much easier for women to be in touch with their fear or their, you know, insecurities or things like that. And generally men, you know, like to be, show they're in charge and have a handle on things. So it's sometimes a further way for them to go to ask for help.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think there are a lot of got more feedback on our emotions, whereas I don't think men, you know, again, depending on how they grew up and their familial situation, didn't grow up talking about their feelings, or if they had like harder dads, whereas like, you know, the dad, then you fall in line with the father, wasn't in tune with their emotions, thus not able to really talk to their sons about their emotions. And I think that's a big part of men as adults. If they haven't given in and done the work to target, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? How is it affecting me? Where I think, you know, at least I'm coming from a woman's point of view, I do that often now. It's just harder for them to admit that, like, yeah, I'm upset with myself or I'm sad, you know, like I'll hear it from James, but I don't hear a lot of men say that, you know, but men see too, sadness, happiness, excitement, disappointment, are just not as trained growing up to acknowledge those feelings, because women are the ones that feel, men are just tougher around the edges.
Yeah, I probably said I love you to my dad more in the last 5 years than I did the rest of my entire life.
So
again, it's, you know, it's It's not something we did growing up.
Yeah.
Not that there wasn't love or anything like that. It was just
not verbalized.
Unspoken. Yeah. So
it's tough work, right? To be able to like, and that's something I think I've struggled through, or I think you're just taught that there are different outlets rather than talking about it. Journaling is something I never would have thought that was something I would ever do. Right. I was like, well, why do I need to write things down? I can just go listen to music or go work out or go play hockey, go do something else. And it just becomes this like buried emotion that, you know, can come out in other ways, which isn't beneficial for anybody really when you get down to it. I'd love to shift, because you brought up how, you know, you two communicate. What's it been like working together as a couple?
It's been really great.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah. The last year, he came over in June of last year. Mm-hmm. And it was scary at first, right? Because, you know, we're all in on everything, the business, we're already married at that point, but it's just like we're really going for it. But it's been, I mean, our communication is stronger now.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gets stronger, and our ability to, work as hers are different than, right? Like I feel my strengths are with content creation and exercise programming and like the exercise science of things. Katie's really great empathy, soft skills, communication, what else would you say?
Like public speaking. I do a lot. But yeah, kind of, it was a quick moment where I said to James one day, so I came over with James in June of 2021, middle of May that year, I looked at him outside one day and I go, I can't stay where I'm at. I'm going to come work with you. And he goes, okay. Mm-hmm. I go, is that cool? Because I'm really unhappy where I'm at. And he's like, let's go. He wanted me to come over with him when he started the business of 2020. Starting a brand new business in a year of a pandemic was scary as. And now I remember that conversation. He came to me in the end of July 2020. He came outside. We're having a bonfire, and he goes, "I'm going to do it." And I go, "You're going to do what, my love?" He goes, "I'm going to start Akron Strength and Wellness." And I was like, okay, all right, I believe in you, here we go. And it was really scary because, you know, he didn't have any income. I then knew I had to stay where I was to be the, you know, I had to bring in enough money to at least pay our bills. And I was fine with that because I've been used to that since growing up, you know, paycheck to paycheck, whatever. Mm-hmm. I can do that. Then it was fine to kind of flip a script and go, okay, it's your turn. I need you to keep doing what you're doing. I'll bring people in. I just can't stay where I'm at. And so I think in both parts, I supported him when he needed it. And then when I was ready to come over, he supported me, said, let's go, and believed that I could do it. I remember that first day starting with him at Akron Strength and Wellness. I was so anxious. The thoughts, you know, and that's where those thoughts come back in. They creep back in. Like, you can't do this. What were you thinking? You're going to fail. You are an imposter. Like, you can't, you know? And so I would, then that's where our communication is really strong, because we speak these things. Say, James, like, I need to talk. I'm really freaking out right now. I'm really having some negative thoughts, and we'll talk it out. And that's where the other one goes, hey, those are just thoughts. Like, we can do this. It's just going to be hard work. So we give to each other when the other one needs to receive, and vice versa, very well. Of finding out where to relax and working through uncomfortable situations in our own relationship.
Yeah.
I was married before, and that was a really unhappy marriage where there was no communication, or it was screaming and crying and nothing good came out of it. So when James and I started dating, that was a big thing I said to him, was, we need to have good communication. My parents weren't good communicators. My past relationship, there wasn't good communicating. So we really kind of based our relationship from the get-go on communication, which is something that we bring to our business and to the people we coach is you got to communicate with us. That is like the foundation of your success is communicating with me when you're feeling struggle, but also communicating with us when you're feeling joy and happiness. We want to know both sides. So working together has been really, really great. I think we were both nervous, but just because it was unknown, we had worked together at that other gym. And that was really great. People loved our chemistry. So that's where we knew, yeah, coaching, can we run a business together? And it's just been really good. When he's feeling the negative thoughts, you know, I'm the one that's like, we got this. And then vice versa. So it really is, you know, even in that sense.
Yeah.
That's really great. Yeah. And it's always interesting when couples decide to kind of go into business together. It's almost like that it can be a risk reward, right? Because you have to think, maybe you guys didn't think of like, what's the worst case scenario here? You know, what could happen? I remember when my wife was on mat leave, she was on mat leave till officially end of November last year. And she's like, well, I don't want to go, you know, job hunting in December or January. So, you know, I'm just going to kind of support you however you need it. So, you know, I had no problem with her doing that. And then it came to a point where I was busy. I'm like, I need help. And she was like, well, I can help you. And I'm like, okay, well, like, I'm happy to, like, we can work together. So she was always like, well, like, are you sure? Cause like, I don't want it to spill over into like home life. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think communication is the most important thing. And I think, you know, for married couples who, you know, run a business together, work together, whatever it is, finding the boundary between, you know, work life and home life, because you don't want to bring work home all the time. And I mean, I've been working from home. So it's almost like I have to put up this invisible barrier of like, okay, once I exit this area, you know, I'm not talking work anymore. Did you ever find overlap with work at home and how did that impact things?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, this past Tuesday, we went to a concert and, you know, we're having a couple of drinks on a patio beforehand and we're just brainstorming.
We were talking work.
It was like getting closer and closer to the concert. So, you know, I was like, okay, once it's 5 o'clock, it was like 10 till, it was like no more work talk. And
so then I go, okay, you know, like, I'm gonna get all my thoughts out.
So yeah, it's a lot of times it's one of us just saying, putting up that boundary, whether it's a certain time of day, whether it's, you know, telling the person like, hey, let's put our phones down. You know, it's past dinner time. Let's not communicate any more work or even look at screens like that. Or it can be on the weekend ahead of time saying like, you know, Friday at whatever time we're done for the weekend. Like, sometimes we need those times where we, you know, we've been pushing so hard that you need to block off days ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know? So it really is a matter of, you know, particularly with Katie, because Katie's work ethic is just like tenacious. I consider myself tenacious until I met her. So a lot of times it's just, you know, setting a certain pace, I guess, to work rather than like, we need to do it all. We need to do it all now. It has to be done today or by next week or whatever it is. Like being okay with it not all being done at once. And I guess that's probably the struggle for most business owners, right?
Yeah.
No, and the tough thing too is when you run your own business, I made a thick a reel about it this last night. It's like work doesn't stop. Like I've never worked a 9-to-5. I've worked jobs where, you know, once I left, like I worked in the restaurant industry. Once I left, you know, work was done. I didn't care anymore. The day was done. But, you know, when you run your own show, things are coming at your brain all the time. And sometimes you have to stop yourself from like tackling it now because, you know, there are a lot of things that we don't need to tackle as soon as that idea pops in our head. So having that communication between each other, like, okay, let's set cutoff times. Do you have meetings between each other for like the business meetings to just hash things out? How does that work?
We usually just talk as we're, you know, we spend a lot of time in the kitchen, whether it's like prepping food or just, you know, it's like the room in our house. So typically we'll be moving around in there and just kind of, if there's ideas.
Yeah. If one of us is cooking, the other writes down. Typically our first day is like the meal where we sit and have it. And then that's when we kind of go through our schedules for the week. So we do, in a sense of like, what's always worked for us has continued to work for us. Mm-hmm. And James said like the kitchen is the area, because, you know, when we started dating, the kitchen was just where we found ourselves like standing and chatting. And that to this day has still been the case. Like the kitchen is our spot to come and talk about business, talk about other life things. So we communicate a lot. Not sometimes it's one meeting in the beginning of the week where it's like, we have this on Tuesday, we have this on Wednesday, we're talking with John on Friday, we actually have an event tomorrow. And so a lot of times it is just hashing out what the schedule looks like, what we need to get done. Otherwise it's, hey, I need to do this and you need to work on that. Go do it, you know, divide and conquer. Has worked really well for us.
Yeah, love that. That's great. One of the things I learned over the years, and it's hard to implement, and it got harder through the pandemic because you couldn't go anywhere, but date nights. I think date nights are, that concept is one of the most underrated thing that couples don't do enough of. We made it a point this year to find a babysitter and then go on bi-weekly date nights if like the schedule's worked out with the babysitter, basically. And it's been incredible to like just to kind of get out of the home environment. Now she's been working full-time for a month and a half, so like now life's busier for her too, just to get out. And even if it's just to the movies, just to kind of do something as a couple. I think any couples listening to this, you know, you can probably attest to what I'm saying. Like life can just get busy, and sometimes you need to just get out of the house and go do something as a couple again. Do you guys find yourself, you know, work and play balance? Do you schedule date nights? How do you kind of operate like that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we excel at, which is, you know, what another thing that's exciting for us is to coach couples. You know, we want to do more of it in the future, but for the couples we coach now, it is like a lot of trying to bring in, you know, how we plan things, because we're really big on creating clarity. We think it's one of the most important things for any kind of goal setting, is to really plan, write down, you know, flesh out what it looks like, what you want it to look like. And a lot of times when people or couples are not feeling that balance, right? They're not having enough play. It's mostly work or kids or whatever it is. They're not creating clarity. They're not making a plan, like you said, like planning a date night, a very specific day, and keeping it as if it's like a doctor's appointment, you know, because it can be easy to, whether it's a date night or a workout or whatever it may be, it can be easy to kick it aside as not non-essential. Because we can always, you know, not keep an appointment to ourselves. We keep them for everybody else. But making that clarity, making that plan, and, you know, like you said, you really find the benefit of it. You kind of may discover like, oh, man, this is what it's like to just be a couple rather than, you know, what, you know, if you're someone with kids or if you're someone who's grown into a job where you're working more and more, and you know, years have passed in your relationship and things have changed. Things like the date night are really great for, you know, really discovering yourself as a couple again, if that's something you lost.
Yeah, or keeping that relationship as a couple.
Right.
Now, we don't have kids yet, but we've always said, when we do have kids, we will still do our date night. We will get a babysitter. Like, this is the thing that we started when we got together. Now, there was a time where the dates had kind of dwindled, and it took one of us, I don't remember, saying, like, we need to have a weekly date night. And now we do. Every Friday night, we go get our Mexican flex meal, which is the best. So it's every Friday. We have a really nice Mexican restaurant we like to go to here in town. And that's something we help to coach others on, is plan for your date nights out, or your flex meals out, whether it's with friends or your significant other, and keep it. No matter what, depending on, you know, illness obviously is bound to happen at some point, but that we do very much coach what we live. And that's, I think, what a lot of people like about us, is that we do the things we coach others to do, and we live by it. We believe in it, and it is very helpful. So yeah, dates are empowering for yourselves and as yourselves as couples. Just to keep that romantic part of your relationship intact,
right,
despite also needing to be a business owner and a coach and, you know, an empowered woman and an empowered man. Like, let us be just each other tonight in this date. And it's really good for people to do. It can be very uncomfortable for couples who all say that to, like, have you asked your husband to go on a date? And it's like, well, no, he should be asking me. And it's like, I understand what you mean. But if you're wanting to go, you need to communicate that and stick with it. And again, brings it back to communication. It really is, like, saying what you want, saying what you need, and being okay that that's okay. You need that. That's okay that you want that.
And another thing we love to do is celebrate a lot of different anniversaries.
Yeah.
And almost to an absurd level for some people, but like, we take a weekend away, the anniversary of our first date, we take a weekend away, or we do something special, the anniversary of the day we were supposed to get married, then COVID shut down. Then we have the anniversary of our day we actually got, like, legally married. We have the anniversary of the day we had our actual wedding where people could come. We celebrate the anniversary of our, what's the other one we do? There was another one. But, you know, I think it's, you know, some people will laugh at us or joke around and we'll laugh with them, but it's important to keep these, you know, human beings, you know, they thrive on having rituals, right? Like rituals like this, and doing these certain rituals as a couple, it strengthens the relationship. It keeps you connected to one another, and it there's always something to look forward to.
Like,
there's always something fun on the horizon. So
no matter how big or small,
right,
it could be a date out in Cleveland, and we're super pumped for it because it's our date and it's just us, and I've looked forward to it for a month.
Right.
So yeah, it's nice to have those things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that too. And I think you guys are a super fun couple. And I think just what you explained there of having all those celebration dates, I think it's fun. I mean, I've never heard of all of those before. My wife and I will kind of acknowledge, like, when we first started dating, like our dating anniversary date is still in fresh of mind. Things like that. And I think it's just, how long have you two been together, like, in total?
5 years and 4 months.
Yes. Okay. So I think for sure couples that have been together for 5, 10, 15, like, the deeper the relationship, the longer it is, if you don't have that kind of date your spouse mentality, it can be really hard to kind of start that.
Very,
but again, it comes back to that communication. Like, my wife and I have been together, we've been married for, this July will be 6 years, but we've been together since, oh, I'm going to screw up the number here. I think December makes 15 years. So we dated for a long time.
Wow. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was just slow pulling the trigger on the ring, to be honest. Like, that's totally my fault. But, that's the thing. Like, we grew up together in a way. Like, we went through our 20s as a couple and matured and had different life struggles. And we had kids, and it's very easy to get lost in a career and you you don't want to become roommates. I think that's that's one thing that couples, and maybe someone listening to this hits them right in the nail on the head, is like, you don't want to just be a roommate with your spouse. You want to have fun. Kids or no kids, like, you can control what you're doing. If it's once a month, if it's once every couple weeks, it has to become that like non-negotiable part of your schedule. Where, if you are familiar with Craig Ballantyne, he wrote a book like Perfect Week Formula, and you design your own week. It works more for entrepreneurs, but it can work for everyone, where one of the first things you put on that calendar on the week is a date. To date your spouse, because it should be a top priority. If it's 9 o'clock on Friday nights, if you don't put it in the calendar, just like workouts, just like meal prep, just like anything else, it's not going to happen. And then I think a lot of what happens with couples, they just fall into a rut. And the rut is a really hard place to be and a hard place to come out of. And it kind of ties in where, if the husband in the relationship doesn't know how to express how he's feeling, there's really no forward progress with that, right? You can end up in bickering and fights, and it's just, you're back at kind of square one.
Yeah, it's tough. I think that rut too is similar to our own like self ruts, where it's like, well, I've endured it this long, I can keep going. Like that, I'm comfortably uncomfortable in this situation. And if I've done it this long, I'm sure I can keep going. Or it'd be more uncomfortable to bring it up than to just keep going the way I've been going. And that's most things, career, relationship, weight loss, or self-love. That uncomfortably comfortable situation is a really scary place to get to, because it's really hard to get out of.
Right. It has its own momentum, you know, like the way you talk about, you know, any habit whatsoever, you know, whether it's exercise or talking to each other, it has its own momentum, and it'll keep going. And like you said, the further you let non-communication or whatever it is go, the harder it is to reverse it, to peel it back and to start something, you know, do like a date night or just talking to each other. So you got to break that momentum.
I love it. What would you say is the first thing someone should do, whether they're in their own personal rut or a rut with their spouse? I'd love to hear from each of you on this one.
For me, it's to create clarity of what you want. For someone like me who had a little bit more struggle expressing themselves with Katie until she helped me, you know, become a better communicator, it started with writing things down, like write. I say it, but I would say to what you want, whether it's like you said, what you want your week to look like, what you want your relationship to look like. It's the easiest thing to do. You just need a pen and a paper and just start writing. Don't focus on having a perfect picture of what it is or whatever it is. Just start writing. Write your goals, write what you want your life to look like, and start there.
Yeah. I like that one a lot. To piggyback off of James, because I think that is like a priority. You have to do that, because you have to be clear with what you want in order to start to get there. I would say it would be reach out to somebody that is maybe like living a life that you go, wow, like how'd you get there? And that could be if somebody's showing them with their weight or their fitness or their health or their well-being, and they have a friend that they watch and see doing really well. It could be as simple as like, hey, I'm just wondering, like, you look so happy. Like, what is working for you? What have you done to get to where you're at? Whether it's a coach, a friend. I'll have women, like I said, reach out to me and they'll say, I've been wanting to reach out to you for 6 months. And here I am. I need help. I'm unhappy in this and that and this. And then once they get started, it's like, wow, like all they had to do was send you a message. Mm-hmm. So whether it's reaching out to a coach that you see online or that you know as a friend, a coach, or simply just communicating to somebody that you trust, I'm in a rut or I'm struggling with this or that, and I just need to vocalize it. What I've noticed is the women I coach, a lot of times their husbands don't even know that they're feeling the way that they are feeling. And when we do these calls with them, these dig deep calls, they'll go, you're the first person I've told this to ever.
Wow.
You know, whether it's, I want to lose weight or I hate my stomach or I'm not having, you know, intimate relations with my husband anymore because I'm uncomfortable in myself. They don't even tell that to their husbands, you know? And so it's, I would say, on top of James writing it down, find somebody you trust and just start talking about it, because that gets it out of your head. And then, you know, that's where some accountability gets put on. Like, okay, somebody else knows. Now it's time to do something about it. So
absolutely love that. Yeah, it ties it all in. Being clear on what you want, asking for help. These are all, you know, they're not easy things to do. And I think that's it's not supposed to be. I think nothing in life is worthwhile is easy. Like, people on the outside can look in and be like, oh, that person's doing great, happy marriage, family. But again, nobody knows, you know, the difficult conversations you might have had, the late nights, the struggles, the arguments, things that, you know, we face as human beings that are normal, that should be kind of normalized. Of, you know, you are going to struggle. I think that's the other thing that we didn't even talk about, is just fitness journeys aren't this perfect unicorn sunshine and rainbows journey. It's you're gonna have some really shitty days. It's normal, but it's like turning those shitty days into lessons, into like, how can I learn from this, not letting that one day or that one moment ruin, you know, the rest of the week or the weekend or whatever it might be, and just keep plugging forward. To me, that's the biggest thing.
That's huge. And we'll have people that go, this must be so easy for you. Or now that you've been doing it so long, it must be so easy. And we'll be honest, like, I don't want to work out sometimes. I absolutely dread my workout, but I do it anyways because I brush my teeth every day. It's just like that, but it didn't start there. You have to, you know, it starts with creating habits. We still struggle with nutrition, and we're open and honest with the people we coach. Like, yeah, we just a vendor had an emotional disturbance in our life. What did we do? What normal do? Turn to food, because that's where we find comfort. It's hard to get out of that hole, that nutritional, like, I like cake. I know you like donuts, John. Yep. I just need a cake on my own and feel so sick, but it tastes so good, you know? And so, like, it's still hard. I would eat cake every freaking day. I can't, you know, but so the nutrition stuff, it's hard. It is just hard, but it is possible, and you know why you're doing it, and like the clarity, like James said, like, why am I doing this then? Well, this is why. I know why. I have it written down. But it's, yeah, we still both on our journeys, and still today, it's tough.
Yeah. One of the things I love about strength training is that you are like willfully putting yourself through some suffering, some roughness, some failure.
Yeah.
And you're going to do it in little doses, right? Like a set, maybe what, 10, 12 seconds long. If you're just going through whatever the rep count may be, and it feels a lot longer, cause you know, sometimes you're dreading the next set, or maybe you're just like, you're beat from that one, you need to rest it out and all that stuff. But really the amount of time the set is a short amount of time, and you're microdosing the suffering, you can build this capacity to, you know, go through struggle, to the different struggles that we're gonna go through. understand, like, it's not going to last forever. It's the most intimidating part about taking on a fitness journey is not knowing the end point, or not and thinking it's always going to be as hard as it is in the beginning, or thinking it's always going to be struggle.
Yeah.
And when you're able to, you know, strength train and do these things that are hard, but then you find that they're over, and then you get a benefit from it after, you know, months and years, or weeks and months and years, you know, you start to see the benefit of one, like, I can put myself through hard things. And again, like I said before, that translates into all areas of your life. And two, it's like you're putting that, you know, money in the bank and reaping the rewards down the road, and it gets you focused more on process rather than outcome all the time. Am I reaching that weight loss? Am I reaching that weight loss? You become more focused on, I got the 3 workouts in, and I'm the type of person who does 3 workouts a week, who meal preps, and those are the goals that I'm focusing on now, rather than always looking for that number on the scale or that end result type of thinking. So I just love strength training, because it's just in so many different ways a microcosm for the struggles of life in general.
100%. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. You two have been amazing. We are at the top of the hour. I unfortunately have to run. This is the shameless plug time of podcast. So where can everyone find you both? And I will link everything in the show notes anyways.
Cool. You can find us at AkronStrengthAndWellness.com. That's all spelled out, so no ampersand. And then our Facebook is, what is our Facebook?
It's all
Akron Strength and Wellness.
Akron Strength and Wellness, yeah. We're based out of Ohio.
We're out of Akron, Ohio. Just looking to keep growing our online coaching clientele, because we feel like we're really hitting our stride, creating like for people to do anywhere, to fit it into their, you know, their lifestyle, their schedule, and to kind of, like we said before, unveil their ability to do it on their own, to have this self-efficacy, to, you know, because in the last, if the last couple of years have taught us anything, it's that there's no certainty. A gym can be taken away from you like that, or, you know, a structure that you may have. So we're all about trying to help people grow into something where you're bulletproof against something like that.
Yeah.
So extremewellness.com.
Yep.
And
Facebook
and Instagram.
All our reels.
I love it. You two are amazing. And I think you hinted at working with couples. So for any couples out there who want to be coached by a couple, just doing it, you know, they're living what they're teaching and what they're preaching, James and Katie are the way to go for sure. Thank you so much, you two, for taking time to be on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Thank you. It was an honor.
Awesome. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great rest of your day. And everyone listening, thanks again for being here.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Thank you.